Well, we got to watch our first glimpse of the Brian Kelly era in Tiger Stadium on Saturday at LSU spring game. And there were several question marks going into the spring game. We were hoping, you know, maybe there were some positional battles that would be settled. But there has been one positional battle that I think everyone has been looking at. But did we really get our answers, or was it just things that we already knew that were confirmed? We'll get into that plus more, all things LSU spring game, on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And you can also watch us on YouTube as well. So you can throw us on your TV, on your phone, on the go. If you want to watch the podcast, you absolutely can do that. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube page at Locked On LSU. I'm Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every single day. I went to LSU. I'm a diehard LSU fan. I graduated from LSU in 2019, and I am now a sports talk radio host in Nashville, Tennessee for ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. You can also follow the podcast Twitter at LockedOnLSU, where I'll be posting all sorts of podcast updates, links to watch the podcast, and links to listen on whatever your preferred podcast platform is. So make sure to check us out on socials and on YouTube, LockedOnLSU as well. But LSU spring game wrapped up on Saturday. Saw some familiar faces out at Tiger Stadium. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Michael Divinity all made their return for the game. So definitely a very star-studded LSU spring game on Saturday. But the biggest storyline in this entire offseason, the biggest storyline going into the spring game, was quarterback. This quarterback battle, this loaded quarterback room that LSU has. And I know myself, and I'm sure you, and I know for certain that this LSU coaching staff was really hoping that the spring game would give them a little bit more clarity of how to move forward with the quarterback position. At least for me, I know that I wanted to just get, you know, a better grasp on exactly who these quarterbacks are, and are the legitimate starters going to kind of set themselves apart from starters that maybe, or from quarterbacks that maybe just need a little bit more time before they develop into a starting role. And the thing about Saturday was, it only confirmed what we already know. At least it did for me. Now, I wouldn't have my full breakdown of the quarterbacks, but first and foremost, this is what Brian Kelly had to say about the quarterback battle and what he saw in the spring game on Saturday.
We didn't clear up anything with the quarterback today. We probably made it even more difficult. Brennan was good today, right? I mean, he does really good things with the football. He knows the offense. He's smart. He takes care of it. Nussmeier, we talked about Nussmeier's athletic ability, his arm strength. Daniels is really, really fast, and Walker's got one of the strongest arms on the team. So I don't know if we cleared up anything there.
And he said it. I think that it just made this quarterback competition even more difficult, which is the exact opposite of what I was expecting in the spring game. I know we talked so much about Garrett Nussmeier and how there were several people on LSU staff who anonymously said that, you know, Garrett Nussmeier was the most accurate. Garrett Nussmeier has been the most consistent. Garrett Nussmeier has made leaps and bounds in strides in this offseason. And Saturday didn't set him apart from Miles Brennan, who didn't set himself apart from Jaden Daniels, because I think we've known all along that each of these quarterbacks have their own specific talents. Each of these quarterbacks have their own strengths, and each of them have like their own little quirks. And I think we knew all of that going into the spring game. I think we knew all of that in this offseason. So the spring game didn't set anything apart. I think for me, it just solidified everything that I already know. So we'll start with Miles Brennan, for example. This entire offseason, we've talked about how Miles is effective, is efficient, he's experienced in this offense. This will be his sixth year of college football. He has a lot of experience underneath him. He's been with LSU throughout his entire college career. He has the most experience. And that's exactly what we saw on Saturday. Miles Brennan going at a 65% completion rate, going 11 of 17 for 99 yards and a touchdown. He had the highest completion rate. But between Garrett Nussmeier, Jaden Daniels himself, and Walker Howard had the best completion rate there. He looked comfortable, and he looked confident out there on the field. So that just kind of solidified what we knew going into it, that Miles Brennan was going to be comfortable in the pocket as this quarterback because he's been there so many times before. Because Miles Brennan in the spring game just kind of dinked and dunked his way down and continued to move the chains. And it wasn't anything super incredibly flashy. It wasn't anything that you looked at like, wow, like that was really intriguing, or that was like, that was risky, or that was a really, really great play right there. It wasn't anything that stood out to me to be like, whoa. But it was just consistent and it was reliable. And it was a pass of 3 or 4 yards here, you know, a pass for a couple yards here and there, and he just dinked and dunked his way down the field. And that's how he plays. He's going to be effective, and he's going to be confident in the pocket. And that's exactly what we saw in the spring game, and it just solidified everything that we know about Miles Brennan. Look at Jaden Daniels as well. What did we know about Jaden Daniels going into the spring game? Incredibly mobile quarterback. Bona fide dual threat. Maybe has some problems with accuracy. Maybe has some problems with decision making when throwing the football, but overall has a very strong arm and is incredibly gifted with his legs. That's exactly what was my biggest takeaway on Saturday. Was, you know, Jaden Daniels kind of had kind of a tough start. He was very hesitant. He had a difficult time reading defenses. And I think whenever we had our friend from Locked On Sun Devils on the show, Richie Bradshaw, he said kind of the exact same thing, that whenever Jaden Daniels doesn't get the perfect look on defense, he's hesitant or just, you know, just runs off with his legs immediately. I think we kind of saw that in the very beginning. May have been just a little bit of, you know, heebie-jeebies that he kind of had to shake off, just a little bit of first game jitters. But he was hesitant. He had a little bit of a slow start, took a few sacks, missing throws, but came back in that second half and looked like the confident passer and looked like the confident quarterback that we could expect out of a three-year starter. But my biggest takeaway was his mobility. I mean, he is so quick on his feet, and he's an incredibly mobile quarterback, and that's exactly what we knew about him going into this. But he finished the day with 7 rushers, 21 yards, and a touchdown. Went 3 for 9 with 68 yards passing. So not a great day with his arm, but had a nice little 20-yard touchdown pass to Jack Bash. So overall, you know, a fine day for Jaden Daniels, but really where he shines, where his greatest strengths lie, are with his legs. And lastly, looking at Garrett Nussmeier, who led the team in passing yards. And what did we know about Garrett Nussmeier going into this game? He's a little bit of a gunslinger, and of course, that's something that he's been working on in the offseason, but he's a little bit more risky. He has a little bit more of a wow factor to him, but he's incredibly accurate, and that's what we saw on Saturday. He made several throws in very tight windows. He had one beautiful, beautiful pass to Dre Jenkins in double coverage. It went right into his hands. Dre Jenkins ended up dropping it, but that was by no fault of Garrett Nussmeier. So, you know, we look at Miles Brennan, you know, who made not incredibly risky throws, but they were effective. We look at Garrett Nussmeier, on the other hand, and he made a little bit more risky throws, which may not have seen themselves to be as successful against SEC defenders, but he had a great arm, you know, led the team in passing yards, finished with 136 yards and 9 of 16 with a touchdown. No quarterbacks, had a single interception on Saturday. So the playing field is as even as ever. In a time when we thought that, you know, there were going to be the legitimate starters start to kind of pull away with the job. But on Saturday, it's as even as ever, if not even more difficult. But, you know, how is Brian Kelly and the rest of this coaching staff going to handle this quarterback battle moving forward? I'm going to get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar. Because it's one of my biggest priorities in life is maintaining a healthy lifestyle, and healthy eating includes that. But I also have a big sweet tooth. But with Built Bar, it's super easy to stick to my goals of eating right because they're so delicious and they taste like a dessert. Even the puffs, they're the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They taste just like a treat. They're marshmallowy, they're fluffy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. all Built Bars, actually, are covered in 100% real chocolate, and they have delicious flavors. They have churro, they have mint brownie, they have coconut, they've got white chocolate cookies and cream. I mean, Puffs and Built Bars are delicious and covered in 100% real chocolate, so it kind of tastes like a candy bar, but so much better for you because these are low calorie and high protein. It's so easy to replace your candy bars with these because you're not sacrificing with taste, and it keeps you full all day long. They've only got 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. On the other hand, candy bars have a ton of sugar, almost 30 grams, dozens of net carbs, a lot of calories, and it's just all junk that's not good for you. So try out their delicious flavors. They're coming out with new flavors all the time, and if they think a flavor might be good, they're going to make it, and it's going to be delicious. They're all about the taste, and they make it taste delicious first, and then they pack in all the healthy, good stuff in there as well. I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every single time. So go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So our next partner has a product that I use a lot. I started taking Athletic Greens because I'm always on the go. And like I mentioned, it's incredibly important for me to eat healthy, but it's not really easy to do that when I'm on the go. And sometimes I get that 2 p.m. slump and I need more energy. I need a better immune system, especially whenever my allergies are running rampant in the spring. So Athletic Greens has been the perfect solution for me because it's super easy to, you know, bring it on the go, and it gives me that midday energy boost that I really need. Athletic Greens has 75 high-quality vitamins. They've got minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. So when do I use it? I usually put one in my purse whenever I'm, you know, headed out for the day, and then I'll throw it in a water bottle, and it's super easy to mix up. You don't need all of these different cups and mixers and blenders and all these different things. You don't need that with Athletic Greens. It's super, super easy. Plus, it's really inexpensive. And I used to stop by Starbucks in the middle of the day, give me that caffeine punch in the middle of the day, but that adds up. So Athletic Greens cost you less than $3 a day. Plus, you're investing in your health. It's cheaper than my old iced coffee habit. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews, recommended by professional athletes, and is trusted by health experts everywhere. So right now, it's your time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/college. That's athleticgreens.com/college to take ownership for your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Now, a very, very big announcement since it is NFL Draft Week. For the first time ever, Locked On is hosting live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft from our studios in Dallas with pick-by-pick analysis from our local team experts and draft gurus. Tune in all 3 days as our draft team guides you through every pick and every trade in real time. It all starts on Thursday, April 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern, available on Locked On NFL on YouTube and the Odyssey app. LSU wrapping up their spring game on Saturday, and Brian Kelly mentioned it, and I agree with him. This quarterback race is only getting tighter. The decision for whoever will be the starting quarterback come September 4th, I believe it is, against Florida State, has only gotten more difficult. So what's the plan moving forward? This is an incredibly delicate balance because you're working with a transfer who didn't transfer to LSU just to sit on the bench. You're dealing with Miles Brennan, who's coming into his sixth year at LSU. He has experience. He did enter the transfer portal but decided to come back to LSU because he saw a future for himself within this Brian Kelly era. We also have Garrett Nussmeier, who throughout spring ball has really emerged himself as a legitimate candidate for being starting quarterback. Because coming into this entire spring, I looked at two guys, and it was Miles Brennan and Jaden Daniels, because they had the most experience, and they seemed like the most likely candidates. But as we've learned, that's not the case. Now, Walker Howard is in this room as well, and maybe I'm making the same mistake with Walker Howard as I did with Garrett Nussmeier, but I believe that Walker Howard wants to maintain his redshirt year, and so we'll be focusing on those three moving forward. But I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? So we're using a very delicate balance here because I always looked at it as, you know, there's one starting quarterback and there is going to be a backup. And then that's that's how it turns out to be. Now, a legitimate question has been brought up about what about potentially a two-quarterback system? Brian Kelly was asked about potentially using two quarterbacks, you know, if this race is so incredibly tight, if it's really hard to make a decision moving forward about who the starting quarterback will be, is the best thing to maybe use a dual quarterback system? Brian Kelly was asked about it on Saturday, and here's what he had to say.
Time that you've been doing this, have you ever played two guys before, and if it was like super close, would you consider doing that?
Nightmares. I've played two. Yes. I think LSU, when I was at Notre Dame in the Music City Bowl, I played two. It's not easy. It has to be a situation where, you know, you have to do it. I'd much rather just play one quarterback and you know, try to fit the offense to their traits, you know, over somebody else. The two quarterback situation is so difficult to manage.
So if there was any thought in your mind about LSU potentially using two quarterbacks, I think that was all shot down right there, because just the mention of using two quarterbacks made Brian Kelly audibly disgusted, honestly. But he mentioned that Music City Bowl in 2014, Notre Dame, LSU, in Nashville for the Music City Bowl, and he did. He used a two quarterback system in that game. Malik Zaire and Eric Olson split time. Eric Olson was, you know, the senior. He was the one with more experience. And Malik Zaire was, I believe, was sophomore at the time and was emerging kind of as a really talented quarterback. And so they did split almost right down the middle snaps in the Music City Bowl in 2014. Malik Zaire going 12 of 15, Everett Golson going 6 of 11. So, you know, pretty much split job there. But I mean, that was a question that I even asked myself, was I don't like the idea of a two-quarterback system, but maybe you go out there, you want to do something different. Maybe that's your way of confusing defenses, is using two completely different types of quarterbacks. So let's say, for example, Miles Brennan and Jaden Daniels, which seem like two very different quarterbacks. Of course, Miles Brennan has that mobility underneath him, but not anywhere close to Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels doesn't have the command, I don't believe, under center that Miles Brennan has shown that he has. So I thought, all right, great. You got two totally different types of styles of quarterbacks. Maybe that's kind of what you want to utilize. If that was even a thought in your mind, that was shot down immediately. That was shot down pretty quickly by Brian Kelly, that a two-quarterback system, mouthful today, is not going to work out. That is not on the horizon, which again makes our conversation about the quarterback competition even more difficult, because we are looking at one guy. And of course, you have to bring politics in the mix as well. You say that the best guy on the team, the best guy on the roster, is going to be the starting quarterback. And sometimes that's not always the most popular decision. Sometimes that's not, you know, the politically correct decision when you're looking at seniority, when you're keeping in mind the transfer portal and maybe some promises that may or maybe not have been made whenever that player was making their decision of where to transfer. So, I mean, a really difficult decision coming down the stretch. I cannot emphasize that enough, of just how even these quarterbacks are and just how different each of their strengths and abilities are, and not in a bad way, but in a really good way to have these options. But when you're just looking at one guy, two quarterback system is out of the realm of possibility. That was my interpretation of that soundbite right there. But when you're looking at one guy and you've got three really good legitimate starters, I just have to say that I'm glad that's not a job that I have right now, is to choose out of those three, and even four, throwing Walker Howard in the mix as well, because he is in that quarterback room, out of those four. I'm glad that's not a decision that I have to make. But coming up next, we talk so much about quarterbacks because, of course, that was the most talked about position group coming into the spring game, and will continue to be the most talked about position group as well. But who else stood out on Saturday? We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell y'all about Bet Online, because at this time of the year, We've got so much going on. We've got the NHL. We're about to get into the NHL playoffs. We've got NBA playoffs. We've got USFL if you want to bet on some spring football. We've got NFL and college football futures. But betonline.net is your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports information. So make sure to check it out. They've got the latest sports developments, league reviews, news. They've got this year's basketball playoffs, the start of the Major League Baseball season. I can't believe I forgot. Even let's take that one out. I love betting on baseball because they've got great props on betonline.net. Plus, it's your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the action today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet online, where the game starts. Now, I said going into the spring game that I was going to be looking at three position groups. That was the cornerbacks, the quarterbacks, and the offensive line. Mentioned the quarterbacks, and I later on this week in tomorrow's show, I want to touch on the corners and the defense as a whole and the offensive line as a whole, kind of where we are standing with that. But there was a position group that I didn't even mention on Friday's show, and that was the running backs. Because if we're going to talk so much about the quarterbacks and how their position battle is going to be a continued storyline throughout the offseason, who really stole the show were the running backs. Oh my goodness, I mentioned how I was a little bit nervous about this running back room. Of course, John Emery, after being out for the 2021 season with academic ineligibility, Corey Kiner leaving LSU to go to Cincinnati. I was a little bit concerned about, can John Emery Jr. come back after being out for a year? And can the rest of this running back room really, you know, give enough support to this run game? Because with so many question marks with quarterback, you know, you're going to try and rely on the running game. But oh my goodness, the running backs absolutely did steal the show. So John Emery, he, of course, left practice about a week or so ago with a sprained ankle. And it was kind of up in the air about whether he would play or not. Brian Kelly came out last week, said he would be playing. And John Emery said to Brian Kelly, like, I'm not 100%. Brian Kelly didn't mention exactly, didn't want to put a numerical value on exactly how he was feeling, but wasn't 100%, and said that he wanted to go out there because he knew in the middle of the season he wasn't going to be 100%. He knew that once you get to the nitty-gritty of late October and November, you're going to be dealing with muscle strains and, you know, little tweaks here and there, ankle sprains, shoulder things, whatever it may be. Whenever you get in the nitty-gritty of the season, you're not 100%. Nobody is. That's just an unfortunate reality of football. But this is what Brian Kelly had to say about John Emery's outing and deciding to play even through injury.
I was really impressed with him today. You know, he was probably, you know, I don't want to give you an exact percentage because I'm not sure, but he was less than healthy. He wanted to get out there, and you know, I was proud of him. You know, he fought through, you know, not being 100%, and we saw what kind of back he is, even banged up.
And I do have to give John Emery Jr. props for that, because he didn't have to play in the spring game. He could say, yeah, you know what, like, my ankle's kind of giving me trouble. I don't want to hurt it even further. I'm just going to sit out here because, you know, this is not my first rodeo. I don't necessarily need to play in this game. But he decided that he wanted to, and I think that's very much so a testament to his work ethic and his dedication to this team. But you look at John Emery on the day, 24 rushing attempts with 24 yards. Not like a wonderful statistical day, but he got pulled. He wasn't in very, very long. I mean, only four rushing attempts there. But my biggest takeaway from John Emery is that what I saw from him on Saturday versus what I've seen from him in the past, he was much more physical against defenders. He was willing to kind of put his shoulder out. He was willing to really battle with defenders to pick up a few extra yards here and there. And even when he's not 100%, he was really willing to put himself out there. And really, he was a lot more explosive and a lot more, I guess, defensive is the right way. I saw him several times kind of put his shoulder out there and rough up a defender, rough up whoever was coming in to try and tackle him. And he easily could have just, you know, seceded there and said, you know, I'm good, been defeated there. But his physicalness on Saturday was what was really encouraging to see from him, even battling through injury. another person, Armani Goodwin, who had 9 rushing attempts and 71 yards. He scored the first touchdown of the game. I mean, great day for him. Trey Bradford as well with a nice little 37-yard rush. So, I mean, the running back room is looking incredibly stout, incredibly powerful, and incredibly explosive. This defensive line looked great yesterday, and I want to put the defensive line on tomorrow as well, but this defensive line is not an easy force to be reckoned with. So the fact that these running backs were so explosive and were able to get past this defensive line, I think the running game all the way around really stole the show on Saturday. But that is going to do it for me today. I appreciate y'all for making a Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Coming up tomorrow, we'll break down the defensive linemen, offensive linemen, cornerbacks, and what we saw on Saturday beyond the quarterbacks and running backs. So make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft, where Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.